I am so excited to have the fresh team here for this call and thrilled with the direction that we're going in 2012. For this Ask the Expert call, we have every member of the fresh team here, and our theme is to own 2012. And I think most of you know that I have been really turning over the direction of A Fresh Perspective to my daughter, Kate, over the course of this last year. And she has really been responsible for refreshing our brand, which is what we're talking about here tonight, is refreshing your own brand. So I want to thank Kate very publicly for giving us our fresh new look and the beautiful theme of owning 2012 and spearheading the initiative of putting the fresh team together. So thanks to everybody from the fresh team, and especially to you, Kate, for all of the direction that you've led us in. And I'm going to turn the call over to you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. We wouldn't be able to do it without your inspiration. So that makes it easy. So everyone, thank you so much for being with us tonight. This is your year. From your business to your personal life, we want you to own every aspect of it. Own it, enjoy it, personalize it, and love it. So what does it mean to own 2012? No more feeling as life is happening to you. Take control. Take the driver's seat. Own your life. Actively live your life. Own your time. Own your style. Own your health. Own your space. Own your brand and own your success. Live this year so at the stroke of 2013, you smile at yourself and you say, I did good. It doesn't have to be a monumental overhaul. Just enough tweaks to live purposefully, mindfully, with you as the focus. Really live 2012. Own it. Tonight, we have a panel of experts assembled specializing in some very key areas of life and business. Let me introduce the fresh team. We have Hannah Marcotti. She's our health and lifestyle coach, and she's going to share secrets of owning your health and your joy. We have Kimberly Medlock. She's our productivity expert, and she's going to talk about taking back your space from your workspace to your kitchen. We have Jill Marinelli. She is our personal stylist, and she's going to advise you on owning your style, creating a wardrobe that reflects you. We have Barb Gerson. She's our party plan expert, and she's going to tackle taking back your time and using systems that work. And myself, I'm a customer service and business coach, and I'm going to describe how to build your unique brand in 2012. Hannah, why don't you start us off with talking about owning your health and your joy?
I'd love to. Thank you, Kate. Hello, everybody. I'm so excited to be here. I was just thinking as Kate was talking how so much of what we all have to say, we use a lot of the same words. So talking about, you know, owning our, you know, our year, this next year coming up, is so similar to kind of what I call making space. I talk about making space in our lives. It's a really wonderful way to feel like you have some control over your life. Your, you know, specifically for me, I help people make space to find, you know, their health and their joy. And making space can apply to, you know, your body, your home, your thoughts, your daily routines, your rituals, all of those. You can find space within all of those. And each one of these presents us an opportunity to really learn more about how we work the best. So what in the world is this making space process? So how do you know how to start this? And the best way to do this, this is something that you can do like tomorrow morning or tonight after the call. Like you can start this one immediately. This is not a hard thing to do, but it's being still. Giving yourself the gift of stillness. And there's so many ways to be still, but I'm going to talk about just two of them. The first, meditation, which is very common. You've heard probably a lot about meditation. It seems to be becoming a little bit more mainstream, but it can be a little confusing. But really, meditation is a form of stillness. It's a way that we try to learn how to release and not judge each thought that comes up. You might have heard the term monkey chatter or something. So when you're sitting quietly and you're trying to focus on a mantra or just be still and let your thoughts just wash through and not judge them or, you know, focus. It's like that monkey chatter that's happening in your head that you can't stop. But it's really important to go through this process because this is a stillness that you don't get in other places of your life. There's no other place where you have the permission, not just the permission, but that is what this practice is about, of releasing each thought, letting it come in, and then just releasing it, letting it go, and letting it wash through. And that's a beautiful stillness to be able to find. And I noticed that after I meditate, whatever I've been worried about or I've been trying to understand all of a sudden has a lot more clarity and calm. So you can see how meditating would help you make space in your body, in your mind, your thoughts. It really opens things up for you, and just by being still. And another way that I like to be still, and I like to really challenge people to do, because this one is actually really hard, is to spend some time inside of soft space. Soft space is doing nothing. You're just being. You're not eating. You're not drinking. You're not meditating, because meditating, you're actually, it's an active process, even though you're being still. You're not making a to-do list. You're not sitting and playing with the kids. You are just sitting and being still. You're just being. So it's the soft side of you, the side that has nothing to do. And you're just being still, and you're noticing the world around you as you sit, and you just enjoy the softness of this time. So soft space allows you to really give yourself gentleness. And I think about it like my husband goes to the gym a lot, and we talk about how he needs to have recovery and rest after he's had his intense workout. And I think about soft space as being sort of the rest and recovery period from all that we're constantly doing, you know, from the moving, from the talking. You know, we all talk a lot, just from the stress of daily life, just, you know, living, waking up in the morning. You might instantly be waking up into a stressful situation that you left the night before as you entered into your sleep. It might just pop right back up for you. So this is sort of that rest and recovery period. And you're not trying to do anything. You're just being. You might have daydreams. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. You're just inside of this soft space. So this practice of meditation in this soft space really can show you how you can open up time. So where you thought that you had, like, really just not enough time, you had so little, all of a sudden when you're practicing meditation and you're sitting inside of soft space, you feel the stretch of a minute or 2 minutes. Like, it feels like forever at first, and you can't believe this stretching of time that's taking place in the same minute or two that you would have spent not even realizing that they passed. And it's because you're not forcing anything to happen. You're not racing. You're not rushing. You're just experiencing stillness, and time is inside of the stillness. So this is one way that you can start to make space. And once you've practiced your stillness, you're making space for changes. So for really small, beautiful changes, once you've sat with your stillness. And these could be very simple, like drinking water every morning, doing some yoga movements once a day, a good DVD that's just 20 minutes, adding some greens to your morning smoothie or your 3 o'clock smoothie pick-me-up. Any small changes that you know would make a difference to your life and add more joy, you can actually feel the space for them having opened up once you've sat inside of this stillness and practiced stillness. So it just really allows us to be ready and to accept these changes through this process of kindness and love. So stillness to me is practicing kindness and love. And then, you know, feeding and moving the body, it will just create space for healing and for energy and for life force to move in. So that's why we make space. We really want to make room for our spirits to soar and for our dreams to continue to unfold. And I know this group has a lot of dreams. And so it's really exciting to be part of this journey of everyone owning all of this for themselves in 2012.
Wow. I found myself taking deep breaths as you were talking.
Good.
Thank you so much, Hannah. That was wonderful. Kimberly, our productivity expert, can you tell us how we can take back our space, please?
Oh, I sure can, and I am just delighted to be on the call. And, you know, Hannah was right. I think everybody will find a consistency of language as we go through this theme of owning 2012. You know, and this time of year is my favorite time of year to really encourage people to take responsibility and take charge, take action, and take ownership of the things, the spaces, the goals that they have, because you kind of can work upon this collective energy kind of going on in the universe for fresh starts. This is your kind of universal permission to have a fresh start, and I'm going to give you some tips and some advice for helping you do that. You know, you can't really own 2012 unless it includes taking control of your spaces. Taking control of your life certainly includes taking control of your space. Look around you and consider for a moment how your space affects you. Does your space help you or does it hurt you when you want to do or you need to do the things that you want to do? Does it give you a sense of overwhelm or messiness or fear that you've overlooked something? Would you feel embarrassed if a customer or a team member or a neighbor saw your space? Do you know you waste time or you get stressed trying to find things that you need? Would you admit that you don't do a lot of the key things that you know you need to do in your business because your mind, your time, your spaces are just too cluttered? So if that is how you feel when you look around at your office or you look in your home or you look in your closet or you just look at your space in general, you think that the space in your head, if those are the kind of things that it makes you feel, the kind of feelings that it makes you feel, it absolutely is having such a profound negative draining effect on your overall quality of life and, of course, your productivity. And of course, we're talking about the bottom line of your business and the quality of your personal life as well. So what is clutter? Clutter is anything that you don't want, don't need, don't use, have too much of, it doesn't work, or it's out of place. It's basically stuff that crowds around all of the stuff that you do want, you do need, you like, or you use, but it interferes with that. And make no mistake that your stuff and your space matters, and it will affect everything and almost penetrate every area of your life and the quality of your health, your time management, your mental health, even your relationships, because everything can just get too cluttered and overwhelmed. You feel crowded and confined with things that, again, you don't need, don't like, don't use, doesn't work, or it's out of place. Now, with that said, I do want to point out that being organized will look different and will be different to different people. What looks and feels organized for you may not be the same for someone else. So what I want to, when I say that, the purpose of that is for you not to judge or compare your sense of comfort level with how your space looks and feels compared to someone else. It's different from everybody else, but I do want you to decide what it feels like for you. What does it mean for you? So answer these questions. Thinking about how your space, how your mind, your time, your space is right now, how would you feel if you were more organized? If this call was unmuted, and I've asked this question hundreds of times in sessions and in coaching, how would you feel if you were more organized? And these are the words that I hear over and over again. Calmer, more in control, less stressed, productive, energized, happier. So if you felt that way more often, calmer, more in control, less stressed, productive, energized, happier, how would feeling this way more often affect the way you ran your business? The way you treated your family members or your customers, your kids, your spouse, anyone in general, how would it make you feel? How different would it make you feel? And if you felt that way more often, how would it change the entire quality of your day? So I want you to pay attention and to know that the level of organization around you will absolutely influence the quality of how you feel in your relationships and the way you do your business and run your life. You know, and there's three areas of organization that affect both the quality of your business and your personal life. And as a productivity expert, and most of you know me, I've been around for a long time, and I've worked with several of you already, but you know that I'm a board-certified professional organizer. But it goes way beyond that. The three areas of organization that will affect the quality of your business and your life are your mind, organizing your mind, which is a lot of what Hannah was referring to earlier, organizing your time, and organizing your spaces and your stuff. And that includes information. Your spaces and your stuff can include information. And information can almost these days be a standalone area because there is just so much of it that's unprecedented that we've never kind of had to deal and manage before. Talk about information, we're talking about space and stuff. So let me give you a few tips in each of these three key areas that will help you instantly if you take some of these things and start to put them into practice. Talking about mind organization, to get your mind organized, let me tell you that mental clutter is most likely the root cause for your time and organization issues right now. And mental clutter is really an abundance of things you're trying to remember, all mixed up with an abundance of things you're trying to forget. So remember that when you just can't focus and you can't see straight, it's mental clutter that's most likely the culprit. And when you get better at being clear on what you want and what your goals are and your objectives, then you'll find it much easier to push back all of the distractions and the shiny things that are constantly coming at you. It improves your ability to say no. And improving your ability to focus is essential for successful time management and organization. Other causes of mental clutter are chaotic environments and physical clutter and worries and regrets and thoughts and ideas you keep in your head and the weight of those things that you're procrastinating on. It's essential that you find ways to brain dump as much and as often as possible. And this can include making lists or having more or better conversations with key people of influence in your life, with friends, a mentor, or a coach. It can include journaling, it can include praying, or anything that helps you to release the weight of what you're keeping inside and in your head. So find ways to brain dump and get that out. You know, life is a team sport, and we were not created to do it alone. So find ways to release some of these things that you keep in your head. Additional causes of mental clutter can be just constant interruptions and with phone and email, just anything that kind of that promotes a chaotic environment. So just start paying attention to these things and know when your stress level goes up, which instigates a lot of extra mental clutter. Now let's shift gears and talk about time organizing tips, how to organize your time. A few tips here. First thing that's really, really important is to keep a time log. Most people are reluctant to do that because, hey, it takes time to do that. It's kind of a pain to have to do that. So they say, I don't have time to keep a time log. Well, if you get really serious about it, then paying attention to what and how you're spending your time will have a profound effect on you being able to make better choices about how you do that in the future. If any of you guys have ever done a successful health or nutrition or weight loss plan, almost every time it will record you being very intentional, paying attention, and writing down, journaling, and tracking what you eat because that's where it becomes real to you. So you have to know where you are now in order to plan your way for where you want to go next. So keep a time log. Another tip is to start with a new list every day or at least every week. Never work from one long, endless to-do list like so many people do. That will just you will instantly go to the easiest, quickest things first, and you'll keep doing those, and the bigger things kind of get put off. Just trust me, that's how it works. Another great tip is to practice being intentional, doing your most important task first. For most of you guys, it's going to be making the calls. So if you will do this one thing, just make the calls first, then tidy up your office, then check your email, then shuffle your papers, then do whatever else you need to do. Make your calls first, and then move on. Another tip is avoid multitasking. Give the important things that you need to do your undivided attention and be intentional about single tasking as much and as often as possible. A couple of tips is to block certain times for certain activities. Create routines as much as possible in your day. This does not stifle you. This helps you. This creates boundaries to keep the bad stuff out, not to just keep the good stuff in. but, you know, laundry one day a week, grocery shopping one day a week. Keep a system, keep a routine. Get a housekeeper, for goodness sakes. It was one of the best investments I ever made in my business, was to get somebody else to mop my floors and to clean my bathroom. Practice pausing before you agree to a new request or commitment. That's a big one as well. If it's 10 minutes or 24 hours, just practice pausing before you agree to a new commitment or request. Now, a couple little things to wrap up this space and stuff organizing. Remember this quote, have nothing in your home that is not useful to have or beautiful to behold. If it's not useful to have or beautiful to behold, it's just clutter. So ask yourself, has it served its purpose? More than half of everything that you have, look around, more than half of everything you have in your space, in your home, you did not ask for, it was given to you. Somebody thrust it upon you. So don't keep things just out of guilt or good intentions. It's just stuff. So ask yourself how it's adding to the quality of your life. In closing, I want you to plan for a massive clean out very soon, as early as you can plan to get to it. If you need to get organized, to refocus, to clear the clutter, plan for a massive clean out in the major areas of your life and business that will give you the biggest impact. If you feel like your personal self has been neglected, it needs recharging, it needs a refreshing, start with your closet. A massive clean out of your closet will really help you to overhaul your own personal sense of value and worth and energy. If you feel like your family life has kind of become a little discombobulated and it needs attention, start with your kitchen. Clean out your kitchen. It's the hub and the heart of your home, and it can truly just re-energize your kind of family interactions there. Home papers, that almost always includes a massive clean out at least once a year. And then by all means, your office. And this includes your information and your computer. A cluttered, unorganized, messy office will keep you from being able to be focused or feel good when you're in there. And that is never productive. So I hope that you'll follow us along on this journey this year as we help you to own 2012, and that you will certainly include an emphasis on being able to organize your time, your mind, and your spaces. And we welcome you on that journey.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. I made a lot of notes for myself on that, so very valuable information. I appreciate it. All right, so now we have Jill. She's our personal stylist. I know everyone's drooling, and she's going to advise you on owning your style.
Hello, everyone. Kimberly, everything that you're saying just so resonates with me, and it is a lot of the things that you said about if it's not something beautiful, then you shouldn't keep it. That's what I really encourage my clients to do when I'm helping them go through their closets or decide what to buy or keep or get rid of. So owning your look in 2012, this is what I do all the time with my clients, and it's been a wonderful journey for me because it has, it's a very emotional process. Our wardrobes, our closets, our clothing, our bodies. It's, I know many of the people on this call are women. We have our body issues, it's a very emotional thing. But what I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight is a few steps that I feel will help you completely own your look, rock your look for 2012. So the first one, just like Kimberly said, you've got to clean out your closet. As women, we wear about 20% of our clothes 80% of the time. I don't think anyone on this call would argue with me on that one. And so there's clutter in your closet. There's things that don't make you feel beautiful. There's things that don't fit you. There's things that are dated, and there are things that people have given you that you don't want and you don't like, but you're holding on to them. And what this clutter does every morning when you get up to get dressed is it makes it very, very difficult for you to do so, for you to find something that makes you feel and look your best. So what I want you to do is go through, take everything out of your closet and ask yourself, does this still fit me? Is it a good color for me? Does it show wear and tear? And one of my favorite questions to ask clients when they're having a really hard time deciding whether they want to keep something or donate it or give it away to someone else is, if you were in a store today, would you buy this item again today? Because we get really caught up in the things that we wore. Oh, I wore that so much 2 years ago. I got so much use of that. I loved it. I got so many compliments. But if that was 2 years ago and it's not working for you now and it's not making you feel great now, you need to let it go. Most of us have plenty of clothes in our closet that we can stand to get rid of a good amount of them, and you're not going to be naked. You're not going to go without. So, you know, you got to be somewhat ruthless. I think, you know, so many people worry about, if I get rid of too much, you know, will I be left with nothing? Well, I wish that I had kept this. I have not yet had a client to date that has given me that feedback and said, oh, I got rid of too much. So when you get caught up about you spent a lot of money on something and you don't want to get rid of it because you spent a lot of money on it, think about how, you know, think about it sitting in your closet and that's actually not, you know, it's not giving you any more for your money, and someone else that if you donate it will get use of it. So first step is cleaning out your closet, keeping the things that you love, that make you feel fantastic, and that you feel beautiful in. There's really no need to have anything else. The next step that I want you to consider, which can be fun, some people may look at this like it's a big project, but I kind of do it as an ongoing thing, and I bet a lot of you on this call already have vision boards that you do in your lives where you cut out pictures and words, images, all kinds of things that you just love, that you want more of, that you want to manifest in your lives. I have all my clients do a style vision board, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be a board. Before I meet with a new client, I have them cut out all kinds of pictures of clothing and even environments and buildings and places that they love, because all of that stuff helps me to kind of hone in on what that individual person's style is. So as you go about your life, when you get a chance to read that magazine or if you see something online, print it out and begin to gather aesthetically what you like as a style. A lot of us don't even really know for sure what we like. And what you will see over time as you begin to amass a bit of a collection of dresses and skirts and pants and pictures of models or celebrities or whatever it is that your eye is drawn to, you're going to start to see a theme. And that's what you really want to pay attention to. The theme that you see is what your eye loves. And the happiest women that I know feel that their wardrobe is truly a reflection of themselves. I think it's really, really important. As people, we all want to be known. We want people to know a little bit about us. And often the only chance that we get is through our image. Because if you don't have an individual conversation with someone or someone sees you from afar, they're going to make a judgment based on your image. And you want that to be reflective of yourself. So create a style vision board, collect images, review it from time to time, and start thinking about what you want to create for yourself for a look. The last step of owning your look in 2012 is shopping with intention. And I know we're all talking about doing things on purpose, setting aside the time, being proactive. I think that sometimes my clients want me to come in and wave a magic wand and then they'll be well-dressed and feeling great, and I wish I could do that. But the truth is it actually does take some time. It takes the time to clean out the closet. It takes the time to really get clear on what your style is and what you want to portray. So the next step is really creating a list of items that you actually need and want. Once you've gone through your closet, you're going to see what you have, what you don't have, what you're missing, what you tend to buy lots of. Many of us are multiple buyers and tend to buy the same things over and over again, black turtleneck after black turtleneck or whatever it is that's your item. So you're going to know when you clean out your closet what that item is and stop yourself, hopefully, from buying it the next time you're shopping yet again. So you want to create a really pared-down list of the things that you feel that your wardrobe needs to portray this style that you have over time kind of curated for yourself. I want you to not buy something just to buy it. If you're feeling down and out, we all know we love retail therapy. Don't buy something just to buy it. It's a waste of money. If you buy it and you love it and you wear it, great. But a lot of times we buy things because we want it to make us feel better in that moment, and it does, and then it hangs in our closet with tags on it. So I want you to be really clear on what it is that you need, and when you go out shopping, only buy it if it's on your list and only buy it if it reflects who you are. The second thing is do not buy something just because it's on sale. I call this sales goggles. We get blinded by low price tags and we somehow in the dressing room, it somehow looks better on and And we kind of tell ourselves this whole story because it's only, you know, $29.99 or whatever the price is. If something is on sale and you absolutely love it and it flatters you and it fits you and it makes you feel beautiful, great, buy it. You found yourself a deal. But I cannot tell you how much stuff I have pulled out of people's closets that they have bought on sale that either has tags on it or that they wore once and then just, ugh, I never wore that. I'm not sure why. Well, it's because you had sales goggles and you thought it was the greatest thing ever because of the price. But in reality, had you not looked at the price and had you just put it on your body and said, does this fit me? Does it flatter me? Does it make me feel great? The answer to that question would have been no. So avoid the sales goggles. Avoid buying things just to buy them. Shop with intention. And in closing, I would just say only buy things that you love and that make you feel amazing. There's no room for anything. Everything else, as Kimberly said, is just clutter. So I want you to think about this whole style thing as not something that just happens and that, oh, that person's just good at putting together her look or, oh, she just has a knack for style. Think of it as something that you can create for yourself, that you can just give in a little bit of time, get yourself organized, clean out your closet, and create your own style for yourself. Shop with intention and put your best self out into the world.
Thank you so much. I've recently followed your advice and taken off my sales goggles. And it has been very helpful. So thank you so much. That was
oh, good. Thank you. Thanks, Kate.
Fantastic advice. Now, Barb Gerson is our party plan expert, and she's going to talk about making your time your own. Barb?
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And about now in the call, when I hear a series of fantastic speakers and all the threads that are running through making 2012 your own, I want to recommend that all of you, as we go through these recommendations, I hope you're starring the items that you want to hang up and put to use immediately. Making time your own. With the sales professionals that I coach, a challenge that often comes up is people will say, I don't have enough time, or I could get this done if only I had more time. We all feel it. We know it. We are living often in a state of feeling as if we are time deprived. The reality, however, is that when we identify what is most important to us and we earnestly set those priorities, we do find time for what's important to us. So in light of this new year, let us be reminded that we could all benefit by taking a little bit of time to reevaluate our relationship with time. And let's put some structure around those goals. We must commit to own it. And let me define own it. O stands for own your outlook. W, work your plan, annual, monthly, weekly, and daily. And N, no, no, and now. Now, using the own definition, let me give you 10 tips that can help you to make time your own. So, number one, own your outlook of time. I'm reading a terrific book right now called How to Train a Wild Elephant. And Jan Choze, C-H-O-Z-E, the author, succinctly says, when we are in the present moment, there is plenty of time. Now, this quote underlines the fact that when we reform our outlook, our habits, and our practices, there truly can be plenty of time. Number two, own your one-on-one time. And this is especially helpful for leaders. Be mindful of who receives the gift of your personal attention. Your success will directly correspond to how you ultimately spend your time and your focused, or as I think it was Kimberly said, undivided attention. Single focus. Meeting your prospects and team members for lunch or working individually is one way that you can build those deeper relationships and connections with your team or your colleagues. This process is vital to building a strong organization. Determine which activities you can handle in a group and which ones require your personal attention. And a quote, I don't know the author of this, quote, source unknown, money I can only gain or lose, but time I can only lose, so I must spend it carefully. Number three, work your plan, annual, monthly, weekly, daily. The start of the year, this is the perfect time I get inspired each new year to make it better than last. So it's the perfect time to create our annual goals and break down those goals to determine what it is that you want to accomplish. Make them attainable by tracking those goals and plot out your desired progress on a monthly chart. Breaking down your monthly goals into weekly steps and a weekly plan will help you visualize where you're spending your time and when you want to take time off, and then refine your list daily. And by now you're probably saying, I've heard that advice before, and we've heard it often. However, I am truly amazed how often I witness neglect for the planning part of that process. So I encourage you to map out your journey. The very act of transferring a goal from your mind onto paper makes it concrete and tangible. And Leonard Bernstein said, to achieve great things, two things are needed, a plan and not quite enough time. And I say the not quite enough time means we must make choices. Which brings me to point number four, work with routines. Recognize the value of setting up routines. When you have a routine, it sets you free. Because once your routine is established, it requires less thinking to implement. So think about the actions that lead to those results you're seeking. Create new rituals and apply that discipline. Again, that's a theme that we've heard several others before me speak about the benefit. You might look at Mondays and make that your booking personal business day. Tuesdays, taking care of your team. Wednesdays, your way from homework. And Thursdays, you'll work with those who are thirsty to grow, your future leaders. Friday might be your networking day. Schedule your days in and your days out of your home office. Number five, work with phone appointments. Ever since I began setting scheduled phone appointments, I could not believe the quality and the effectiveness of the calls, how my phone calls, my calling time, how it increased. While my frustration and stress level went way down, the difference in the previous approach to the new one was not subtle. Now, truthfully, I rarely speak on the phone without a scheduled appointment. This saves everybody from the time vacuum of playing phone tag. So treat your phone as you would a live meeting and watch as this time steadily becomes more productive for you. And that includes your host coaching, your talking with your team, work with phone appointments. Number six, equally important, work with appointments with yourself. Whatever you wish to get done, make an appointment. And when you honor the appointments you make with yourself, guess what happens? You build self-trust. You start believing in yourself, and therefore your goals become more realistic. This is a very simple, organic process that builds your own self-efficacy. Give each task that you want to do a time slot and see the benefit from that single act. Point number seven, work with taking time off too. Find your number. For me, I must plan at least two nights off a week where I can, be still and settle myself and have that quiet. Whatever that is for you, plan around the completion of your work each day. Set a boundary. And to preserve your sanity, plan some unscheduled time during each working day. Number eight, no is necessary. Decide when to say no and let it go. I was recently working with a client. She set her goals to make this year bigger than ever, and she had all her numbers. She had her target. Everything was beautiful. The one area that she did not give enough attention is what she would give up. And after thinking about it, she decided she was a devoted mom. Her schedule was super filled up. She decided that she was going to sit her up. In other words, her children were a little bit older, they were more independent, and she could afford to hire a little bit of help so that she could take the steps that she wanted. So instead of looking at ourselves and saying, we're superwoman, we can just keep on taking more, and oftentimes that might mean staying awake at night, wondering how we're going to get it all done. We are all superwomen, but we are not superwoman. See the difference? Point number nine, know how to say no. And I think, again, you heard this theme previously. be vigilant and honor the boundaries you set for yourself. So here are some handy phrases that to assist you when it's time to say no. These are a couple of tips for you. If somebody asks you to do something, you can say, you can simply respond, I cannot do that. However, this is what I can do. Or, I'm sorry, I'm full this week, this month, this year, whatever. Another way to respond is, although I can't take on that project, let me see if there's someone I know who can. I just had someone ask me to make some phone calls for an organization that I'm in, and I said, although I cannot take on that project, I know someone who can. I was able to help them out. So referrals are a great way to exchange that response. Another way to respond to a no is simply to say, let me check and get back to you, and pause first. And just buying that time really gives you an opportunity to think before you take on a commitment that might set you into overload. Point number 10 is do it now. Take some time to learn technology tools and set up those systems that will save you time all throughout 2012. For me, it was just simple things like mastering Gmail and Google Calendars to the fullest that saved me heaps of time. In closing, I'm reminded to tell you of a quote that a mentor of mine, Joe Hara, former president of Tupperware, once said, what we do right now will have a great impact on where we will be tomorrow. Hopefully you've been inspired to make time your own in 2012 and do it now. And this will really create excitement and achievement for the year ahead.
Thank you so much, Barb. That definitely inspired me. I love honoring appointments with yourself. That was a note I made because I definitely think that that is going to be a key to owning 2012 for me. So thank you, Barb, Hannah, Kimberly, and Jill so much. I'm so grateful for the information you shared. So we talked about owning your health, creating balance, making space. Owning your space, creating areas you look forward to living in, owning your style, your look, taking what you've got and emphasizing the beauty, owning your time, prioritizing and implementing systems that'll make your workflow actually flow. Focusing on any or all of these pieces you just heard will help you own 2012. Now, I want to talk about creating your brand. And a few simple things you can put into action right now, this year, to create and start living your brand. Everyone's so accustomed to talking about brand in the marketing sense, like Coca-Cola or GoDaddy.com. And just to give you quick background, I've worked at a TV station for over 10 years in sales and marketing, so branding people has been my specialty. Reading Wikipedia, I learned the word brand began simply as a way to tell one person's cattle from another using hot iron stamps. So don't worry, that won't be one of my simple tips. But the word brand has continued to evolve to now encompass identity. It affects the personality of a product, company, service, or individual. It's defined by a perception, good or bad, that your customers or prospects have about you. A brand is the essence or promise of what will be delivered or experienced. Once developed, brands provide an umbrella under which many different products can be offered. What does this mean to you? We're all entrepreneurs gathered here, some running home-based businesses and others balancing office jobs and an entrepreneurial spirit. But we're all focusing time and energy marketing and selling the products and services that our companies offer. What if this time and energy were spent marketing the most important product you have to offer, the product that truly makes the sale, you? Many of us on this call sell similar products, even the same products. Why should prospects choose you? That's exactly what you need them to do, choose you. Because when they choose to buy your products or services, they're buying your brand, your essence, your experience. They're buying you. It's so much easier to pin our successes and failures on a physical item or service rather than on ourselves. There's so much more success to be had once you identify and start marketing the real product, which is you. You're the brand, not your company. So where the heck should we start? Mm-hmm. Let's keep it simple. Remember, a brand is described as an essence or an experience, and brands evolve over time as they start to gain awareness and as different trends emerge. So all we're focused on now is creating your brand in 2012. In the years to come, you can expand, rebrand, or take over the world, but let's start simple. So I want you to focus and develop these four things, just these four things. One physical branding item, one action branding item, one enhancement, one indulgence or outlet. So the physical branding item is a very large part of what people experience when they're introduced to your brand, but it can be the easiest piece to implement. Some ideas are a walk. Have you ever tried straightening up a bit, adding the slightest twist to your hips when you walk? I actually did it at Nordstrom the other day, and it was amazing how it elevated my mood. And I actually think I saw a head turn. Well, maybe not. Most importantly, I felt great and like I was announcing my presence. Lipstick. Consistently keeping a shade you love with you. Buy a few tubes and wear it. Even if you're alone, it can make you feel done and ready to be on, whether on the phone or in person. Hair. How many of you have met Lynn in person or seen pictures of her? Well, if you have, you may have noticed her signature spiky hair. Sorry, Mom. It's evolved recently, but it's always been a big part of Lynn's physical brand. Jewelry. Now, I know many of you are in the business of wearing jewelry, so you understand better than anyone how that paints a picture for people. It can make you feel done up, ready for anything. Or how about a signature scent? Something that makes you feel great every time you're wearing it. That's my physical brand in 2012. I spent the last month searching for scents and found one that boosts my confidence and just really gives me an extra sense of femininity that I was looking for. These are just a few examples, but choosing one simple signature physical item that you do consistently is one of the key blocks in building your brand. Next is an action item, something that you do that people start to know you for. Some examples are sending thank you notes, returning calls the same day, sincere compliments, always taking a second to notice something you like, but actually telling that person. Smiling. It's so simple, but yet it spreads an essence of warmth. Implementing this action on a consistent basis will start giving an experience to your brand. Next is one enhancement. When you look at your typical week, what stands in your way most often from you living fully? What if I could just? I'd be so successful if... I'll feel great when. It's time to do it. Well, we all, I know I do, have a long list, but we're going to choose just one. Maybe it's getting organized in your home, office, closet, or taking charge of your health, adding some simple exercise, maybe a weekly menu, or even just starting your day with water first, connecting with people more often. Maybe it's blocking your time and sticking to it. It's tempting to choose a few, but that's the quickest way to become overwhelmed and give up. Choose just one this year and reap the benefits of enhancing something that's been standing in your way for years. Finally, I want you to choose one outlet or indulgence that makes you feel alive, or as my husband the surfer would say, sorts out your brain so you can really be present. This can be many things. It can be from a hobby. It can be a daily practice. It's something personal that nourishes who you are. Some ideas are regularly doing a favorite hobby. Maybe it's yoga, golf, crafting, singing. For me, it's theater. I am alive when I'm on stage. I actually recently tried karaoke, and it has a very similar effect. And then how about a daily practice? Maybe it's keeping a gratitude journal that helps you stay focused on the beauty around you. Or maybe it's meditation, taking 5 to 30 minutes to just be still. Or maybe it's regular pampering. Maybe you can accomplish that needed stillness while getting a monthly massage or facial. It's imperative to nurture your being and fill your tank. As people, we often give more away than to ourselves. Lots of negativity eventually comes from this. fill your tank, and it will easily overflow to others. The point of these four things is not for you to spend a lot of money overhauling your complete person. In fact, it's about simply noticing your unique offerings and highlighting them so that your essence, the experience of you, your brand, is being put forward mindfully and with purpose. People are not doing business with you because of your company. They are choosing you. So it's time to create your brand and own 2012. I want to thank each and every one of you for being here with us tonight, and we're going to be focusing on this topic throughout the year with our fresh ideas, with our courses, with more free calls, and we just want to help you own all aspects of your life in 2012. In January, we're really going to start with owning your time, owning your space. Barb's going to have a course called Googleize Your Time and Your Team, and it's creating a system for success with Gmail and Google Calendar. Kimberly's going to help you take back your space with a three-part series, and it's the best way to organize your workspace, kitchen, and closets. Hannah's going to help you make space for health, balance, and joy with a cleanse. This is a 20-day cleanse that actually helps you create space in your home, heart, and mind. And in February, Jill's going to show you how to own your style with her course, Dress for Your Body Type, just in time for Valentine's Day. And I'll be leading a brand camp where you pinpoint those four things I just talked about, implement, and we'll start marketing you. So everyone who's interested in some of this information, the courses you heard, check out our courses page on afreshperspective.com. So here's to you in 2012. I want to thank you, and I want to open up to any questions you have for any one of our Fresh team.
Hi, this is Alicia from Alexandria.
Hi.
I wanted to tell Lynn I wanted to thank her.
Oh, that's very kind, Alicia.
A few years ago, she was at our conference, and she knew that I was not ready for my business. So I just wanted to thank her for recognizing that, and I'm now ready, and I'm so glad that I took this call tonight. I started a gratitude journal last night, and I asked my girlfriend, I wanted her to gift me with an organization boot camp. So thank you so much, ladies, and I can't wait until the Googleize your time.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Alicia.
Hi, Kate. This is Amy in Los Angeles, and this call was so incredible. So thank you, all of you, Lynn, for setting the inspiration, and all of you for having your areas of expertise. Really helpful. Tough time in California because we're all fixing dinner for our families, and I'm hoping there's going to be a replay line for this. Will there be?
There is.
Yay. Okay, you'll send that out on email.
We will. We'll send it out to all of you, and thank you so much for your comments.
Sure.
And, Amy, we would love it if you pass the replay on to your family, friends, team members.
Oh, definitely.
And really encourage them to sign up for our Fresh Ideas. It's
right
on the homepage of the website, because that'll be lovely for them to be able to know firsthand what the team is doing.
Well, and the specific courses that you all are offering is just, it's very exciting. I think this is a great tool for all of us to use. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Lynn. It's Mary from Ontario. How are you?
Good.
I have a question for Barb. The own, the O and the W, I missed what she was saying there. If she could repeat that.
Absolutely. O is own your outlook. And I add offer your time selectively. The W, did you get that?
Yes, I did.
The W is work your plan. That would be annual, monthly, weekly, daily. And the N is know, and now. And that's N-O-K-N-O-W and N-O-W. Know, and now.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to everybody. It was a fabulous call.
Hi.
Hi, this is Candy from Rhode Island. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Candy.
I just wanted to share with you that the clutter and all of that, I don't know. Are you familiar with feng shui at all?
Many of us on this call are, I believe.
Okay, because that's huge with feng shui, is getting rid of clutter. And this has been really awesome, because I've been, in January, I always have this tendency to go back to looking online about feng shui, and I just totally, yesterday and the day before, totally cleared out my office, reorganized, threw out papers. I mean, my office looked like a battlefield after Christmas, throwing things in there, and it just makes you feel like you can breathe and calming. And this has just been a fabulous call, because it's all about flow, not only in your home but in your life. And feng shui is, I really love the feng shui ideas, because it's all about the qi. And the person who started off the call about meditating and mindfulness, I mean, this was a fabulous call.
Thank you, Candy. Actually, feng shui is one of Hannah's specialties, so yes.
Oh.
So thank
you. And Hannah is a Rhode Islander too, Candy.
Wonderful. Maybe sometime we can meet her?
Never can tell.
Oh, that would be awesome. Awesome. Yeah, well, it was a fabulous call. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was great to have you here.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to share a question or comment?
Hi, yes, my name is Cynthia Marshall McFarland from Maryland. How are you all?
Wonderful. How are you, Cynthia?
I'm great. Thank you so much for tonight's call. It was just so informative, and I really, particularly the branding portion, Kate, that information you shared was phenomenal, and I've been wanting to get some starter tips on how to brand myself. Thank you for that. And the other thing I wanted to share, and I mentioned this to Ben, and the other day, one of the fresh perspective was a quote from Nelson Mandela, and I wanted to share, to say thank you, because it was very spiritual and very touching, and I have taken that credit day after day since you've sent that out. So just thank you so much for sending that spiritual piece. It was wonderful.
Thank you, Cynthia. Yeah, that was such a beautiful quote. There was someone who was trying to speak before.
Kate, that was me, Barb. I was saying, you know, why does just Rhode Island get to meet Hannah? Maybe we need to plan a fresh team live meeting sometime.
That sounds like a great idea.
Just right at an hour right now, Kate. So you've done really well with organizing this. And I just want to let everybody know that this call was a labor of love for all of you, and thank every member of the Fresh team for preparing and sharing such wonderful information and feeling. The feeling on this call tonight was just amazing. So thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you very much. And here's to owning 2012.